A good title for this podcast would be Learning to Harmonize with God's Orchestrations. Oh my, I've seen God work in so many ways and in so many places. Yet I'm always amazed and thrilled when I see him in action. Oh man, the way he orchestrates his work is so subtle, it seems as if things are simply falling into place. But you suddenly become aware that he's putting things in place with precision and perfection. One example of this is the mobile clinic that was built for the North American Mission Board's missionary in Tucson, Arizona. The project started in 1969 while I was on the staff of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. The Baptist Sunday School Board out in Nashville developed a mobile classroom to be used in training church staff in the various state Baptist conventions. It contained the latest teaching tools, electronics, and visual aids and stuff. Well, it came to the Baptist building in Dallas, and all those with teaching and training assignments like me were given a tour of the unit. It was built in what had been a mobile library bus. The unit was very impressive. It was as large as a highway or a touring bus. It had a generator, restroom, water supply, public address system, and every conceivable aid for teaching. As the lecturer demonstrated its features and explained its purpose and possible utilization, all I could think of was, man, what a great mobile clinic this thing would make. Well, 4 years later, as an employee of the Baptist Sunday School Board myself in Nashville, Tennessee, I spotted it. It was behind a storage building. I watched it for months and it never moved. I discovered that it was no longer requested since the advancement of new educational equipment and electronics had made it obsolete. Wow, I started praying. Oh, I'd love to have it for a mobile clinic. I prayed because I sensed God was up to something. I told several of my associates in the church recreation department where I was employed about my idea of acquiring it and making it into a mobile clinic. Their collective evaluation was simply, "Lanou, you're nuts." They were fantastic people and great Christians, but they had not been down the path God had provided for me. And their experiences with God basically had been in the area of drama and sports and church activities and recreation. Man, it was amazing to me. They were an extremely creative group, but this kind of project, totally outside their field of imagination. After a lot of prayer, I was convinced God was giving me his direction for the project. I approached the Baptist Sunday School Board Executive Office about the availability of the unit. I asked if it were for sale. They shrugged and said they had not even thought about it. I told them I'd like to buy it and convert it to a mobile clinic for mission use. The administrative group considered the idea for a few weeks and finally they agreed to sell it to me. They said they would strip it of all the teaching aids and screens and projectors and sound equipment and then sell it to me for $6,000. I was so excited. I wanted a bus, not all that other junk. I was so excited I called Jim Wren, the president of Amigos Internacionales Incorporated in Texas. When I explained what I sensed God was doing, he gave me permission to make it an Amigos clinic and start a fund in Tennessee to build it. I was so excited about the project. I told the people in the office what had happened. I'd opened an account in Amigos' name there. I held up the checkbook on the empty account and asked them to join me in praying for $6,000 to put into the account. My buddies all shook their heads and expressed their collective evaluation of me and my project. "Lanou, you really are nuts." I explained what I'd seen God do in the past and asked them to either pray for my success if God was in the project, or my sanity if he was not. They agreed to pray for me, but their promises lacked the enthusiasm of faith I felt it was necessary for success. So I prayed for them. I prayed the Holy Spirit would translate whatever they prayed into a prayer of faith. I prayed that God would use this event as a faith growth event for them and for me. It's difficult at times to pursue what you understand to be God's will in the face of doubt from those whom you respect as spiritual people. I had to pray a lot in order to proceed with assurance. I've learned that every opposing person and thought must be brought to the Lord for evaluation. If I'm getting off track and he's sending a message, I want to hear it. I do not want to miss it. But if Satan is trying to derail God's plan, I want to avoid his detour. One of the most insidious methods Satan uses is to substitute good for best. If he cannot lead us in the opposite direction when we're following God, he'll try to get us at least a few degrees off God's course. The direction may appear to be good, but you miss the intended destination. I've been a pilot for 55 years, and I know how a few degrees off course can be a big problem on a long trip. This is a lesson I've learned along the way. Well, God responded to our prayers as he did when I built the first mobile clinic. People began calling and writing, asking what project I was working on. Some send money, it began to arrive, and my goodness, it came in response to requests that I had answered in prayer. And a little over a month, I had a little over $6,000 in the Amigos checking account. When the church recreation staff was gathered in the conference room for coffee, I held up the checkbook and asked, "Anyone care to guess how much God has sent for the mobile clinic in response to your prayers?" I was greeted with total silence. I broke the silence by saying, "Over $6,000. We have a great God." Well, I think all of us climbed a step higher on our ladder of faith because they were surprised by what God had done, and I was relieved that it happened so quickly. I bought the bus, took it home, began to examine its structure. The needed modifications were noted, the conversion plans were drafted, and the mobile clinic plans were completed. I made a list of needed parts and equipment, and money kept coming in until all of the needed items, everything I needed, had been purchased. Wow, God is so good. Everything was ready for the construction to begin except one thing, workers. Oh boy. No one from any of the local churches responded to the project's need for workers to help with the construction. When I spoke to any group about the project, the usual response was, "Oh, that's nice," but no offers of help ever came. Now, my job at that time required 175 days of travel each year. And every weekday that I was in town, I was required to be in the office. Time to do the project by myself was not available. I had a choice. Well, I could either pray and trust God, or I could frustrate and complain. But knowing God was doing the project gave me one option: pray and trust. Trust the Father's will and be patient with his timing. Well, the travel assignments for our department called for me to speak to a church conference in Abilene, Texas. I looked in the backyard of my home as I backed out of the driveway for the trip. There sat the bus. My basement was full of the supplies and equipment, and the plans for the clinic were on my drafting table. I whispered a prayer, "Father, there sits a complete mobile clinic. Please send someone to put it together." An attorney from Amarillo, Texas, C.J. Humphreys, was also one of the conference speakers there in Abilene. He was very active in Texas Baptist Men and was speaking about involving men in missions and ministry. Near the end of the presentation, he said, "Hey, I see John Lanou is here. He's from the Baptist Sunday School Board in Nashville. John is one of our Texas Baptists who's been very active involving medical doctors and dentists in mobile clinic ministry along the Rio Grande River. By the way, John, I need to talk to you when this meeting is over." Well, after the session was over, he said, "John, I have to speak to a group of men. from the First Baptist Church of Canadian, Texas next week. They've asked me to suggest a project for their men's group. When I saw you in the audience, God impressed me that you have a project for them. What is it? I was amazed. He listened as I explained about the clinic project, the plans I'd drawn, the purchase of all the needed supplies. I said that I had everything but workers to put it together. Aha! He said, John, I feel God is all over this. Write it up so I can explain it to the men in Canadian. Well, CJ did present it, and the men of Canadian responded. More than I ever expected. I thought they might send a team to Nashville, but no. They told me to pack everything in the unit with the plans and drive it to Oklahoma City. They informed me that a private aircraft would bring a driver to the airport there, and the private aircraft would take me back to Nashville. Well, love to fly. Well, the news was wonderful, but I had a crisis of belief. They have never built the mobile clinic. I will not be there to direct the construction. I'm essential to this project's success. Pride in and ownership of the project had gotten a hold of me without me ever suspecting it. Sin. Satan had hooked me before I saw him coming. It was knee time. I got on my knees before God bent me over his. As I prayed for forgiveness, the Holy Spirit ran the panorama of the project through my mind. I saw the unit in 1969, realized its clinic potential. God gave it to me in 1974. He gave me the modification plans. He sent the money and supplies as answers to prayer. And now he was sending help. Accept it? I did. I delivered the unit, got out of the picture. The men of First Baptist Church in Canadian did a better job than I could have ever done. They modified my modifications and made it better. However, the rest of the story, oh, it gets even better. God's orchestrations. The missionary got the University of Arizona's College of Medicine to staff the clinic because it was destined to serve the Indian reservations in remote areas. When they delivered it to the missionary, they saw an old clunker, a Chevy Suburban with peeling paint and dents. Sitting in his driveway, one of them asked, whose old car is that? The missionary said, well, it's his, and that's all he had to use in ministry. The guys held a quick conference. They called their church and explained the situation. And the church bought the missionary a brand new Suburban. Lesson learned. I discovered the picture was better without me in it. I was not essential to the completion of the project, but my obedience was. As I look back over the 5-year history of the project, I could see the Father's orchestrating every detail with perfect timing. Every time I get anxious or frustrated about a ministry, I can just hear God saying, settle down, John. Why don't you do like Moses? Just take another lap around Mount Sinai until you learn to listen. Well, I think this project qualifies as another lesson learned along the way around Mount Sinai. God bless you all. I'm so thankful that you're interested in what God is doing. God bless you. The title for this podcast should be, When It's God's Plans, Don't Evaluate Them, Just Simply Obey Them. One of my closest friends in the ministry and my spiritual mentor in many ways was the Dr. James Mahoney. I had known him from my days at Stephen F. Austin State University in Acogdoches, Texas. I was on the football team and a member of the campus group called the Baptist Student Union. Two of my teammates, Edgar Kelly and Ralph Killam, helped me start a prayer group in the athletic dormitory. Jimmy was in his first year of seminary and came to the college every weekend to date one of our BSU girls. He and I became strong friends, and our conversations always contained discussions of scripture, ways to share our faith with others, and other spiritual insights. His visits on the weekend would give me material I could use every night in our dormitory prayer meeting. Later, he was a pastor for many years, and eventually developed a ministry of leading Bible conferences and evangelistic meetings. This ministry required a lot of travel. He always took his whole family with him, Betty, his wife, and she had a master's degree in education and taught public school for many years. She was involved in ministry with their three daughters as a music team. Betty was homeschooling the girls. Jimmy called me and asked if I would convert a highway bus into a motorhome for his family. We spent hours on the phone developing the list of electronics, audio and video equipment, bedroom arrangements, dinette and kitchen arrangements, classrooms, etc. Several months later, I was still praying about the project and I was drafting plans, looking for a suitable bus. In the middle of all this, I received a call from a very excited Dr. Mahoney. "John, you will not believe what just happened. I'm in Casper, Wyoming, conducting a conference. The lady who recently lost her husband has offered to give me the bus that he was converting to a motorhome. It'll need a lot of modifications to meet our needs, but will you help me?" Oh man, I became as excited as he was. God had given us a shortcut. I did not even stop to pray about it. I just said, "Yes, bring it to me in Nashville." We had a 3-year-old 23-foot motorhome in which we had traveled while I was on assignment for the Baptist Sunday School Board. My wife, who also had a master's degree in education, had been homeschooling our children for a year as we traveled to 46 different states. So we knew what was required to handle the task. We had modified our motorhome to handle the job. This gave me some idea of what might be needed for Jimmy's bus. Several weeks after Jimmy drove his bus to our house. I took one look at it and I breathed a prayer. "Oh Father, I'm sorry I did not ask you about this project. I just took it for granted that this was your work. I expected a Silver Eagle type bus, one like Greyhound or Continental Trailways Bus Company would use. Nashville's full of these buses used by country western music groups, but what I was looking at was more like a lead buzzard than a Silver Eagle. It had been a city bus in San Diego, California in 1949. The paint was flaking off. What was left was an oxidized shade of blue. Much of the white paint on the wheels was chipped off. The windshield was cracked. It was dented in many places, but the tires were good. Jimmy left it with us, and his parting statement was, "See what you can do with it. I'll be praying for you." Well, I didn't pay much attention to the powertrain and the running gear because I just couldn't get past the appearance of the bus. To say it was ugly would be a compliment. It was awesomely ugly. A 1949 GMC city bus was ugly when it was made. Well, 25 years of history as a city bus and a residency in a junkyard did nothing to improve its appearance. Many hours were spent in prayer and sketching modifications, imagineering designs, and just sitting in the yard staring at it. It was GMC, but it would never be a Cadillac. No matter what I did to it on paper, it looked like a tank. A tank that had seen combat and lost. All my days off from work were consumed by this project. Leaving the bus with my sketch pad and measuring tape in hand, I would walk by our motorhome and offer a quiet word of prayer, thanking God for our commercially built unit. It was stylish, neat, serviceable, and debt-free. Oh boy. I would lie awake at night thinking about the Mahoneys driving up to a church to lead a conference in that old bus. I would hear the church leaders asking their pastor, "Are you sure that this is our conference leader?" Or they might say, "I hope they don't park that thing in our church parking lot." A strange thing began to happen. In praying about their bus and its apparent hopelessness, my mind would bounce to our motorhome and I would thank God for it. Sometimes I'd be focusing on Jimmy's bus in prayer, literally visualizing it, and my unit would be standing beside his. Our unit was nice enough to be welcomed on any church parking lot. I began to suspect God was up to something, and he was. Now, my wife was a prayer warrior. She was the most godly person I've ever known. I was married to her for 66 years, and I knew she cared only about the will of God. And the driving force in her life was the desire to be obedient to him. One morning I said, "Honey, I have a problem. Every time I pray about converting Jimmy's bus, our motorhome gets in the picture. I know it sounds like a wild, unreasonable idea, but I wonder if God wants us to trade Jimmy, our motorhome, for his bus." She replied, "Yes, darling." For over a week, I thought this is what he wants us to do. She had known for a week what I was just discovering. I've been thinking of every reason why that exchange would not be reasonable or even possible, while she was thinking only of God's will. I called Jimmy and asked if he would trade mobile units with us. He was so shocked he had difficulty speaking, but the final answer was yes. I'm sure he doubted our sanity. If I had not been so convinced that this was God's will and what God wanted, I would doubt my sanity too. So the lesson I learned in trading our beautiful motorhome for the apparent pile of junk was, when God puts something in your hand, do not let it get in your heart. Always be ready to pass the blessing to others when he directs you. Well, after the trade, the bus, which I named Blunderbuss, that's the name of an ancient shotgun-type weapon used in the 1500s in Europe. Old Blunderbuss. Well, it sat in the backyard for months. I thought about spray painting it bronze and calling it a monument to ugly. However, I was given a book proposal by the church recreation department, and I used that unit as my writing room. I used it for a month. It served as our backyard office and research center, to my wife's joy, because I was making a mess always when I'm writing a book or doing research. I have books and papers everywhere. When I finally got around to examining the rig, I was shocked. The man who converted it owned a machine shop in Casper, Wyoming. He stripped out the old Buick engine, the original drivetrain, and replaced it with a rear-mounted International V6 truck engine, a 5-speed automatic transmission, a V-drive system of drive shafts which connect to the 2-speed axle. He extended the motor compartment and added a rear-mounted truck radiator. The original side-mounted radiator was lifted in place and an electric fan was added to it. This junky-looking bus was driven by a brilliantly designed power unit. Well, I discovered in the first run that he'd rebuilt the entire steering system and the front end. He even equipped it with air brakes. This apparent pile of junk was a dream machine, except for its appearance. Well, my work required traveling to Ridgecrest Baptist Assembly and Conference Center for our department's Recreation Week program. In addition to teaching outdoor education, I was responsible for transporting all the equipment, books, programs, displays, and everything else needed for 2,500 people attending that meeting. Instead of renting a truck, I rented the largest trailer I could find at U-Haul, hooked it onto Barney Bus. Oh, no longer Blunder Bus. I nicknamed it Barney Bus, after the Apostle Paul's assistant Barnabas. The name meant son of consolation, and I had been consoled after I discovered the unit's strengths and utilities. With the unit loaded with my family, all their gear, all water and fuel tanks filled, and the large trailer attached, my prayer was, "God, I hope this works." Was I ever pleased with its performance? Oh, goodness. We cruised through the mountains at the maximum allowable speed and had power to spare, but it looked like a junkyard refugee. During the following months, I became more and more convinced that the unit would be a great foundation piece for a disaster relief unit. I became more and more convinced that it was God's plan for me to develop into a disaster unit. The lesson I'd learned about holding things that God gives you in your hand and not let it get in your heart was very important at this point. I'd built several mobile medical and dental clinics, 2 mobile disaster units, These had all been given away without asking anything in return. If this bus became a disaster unit, I assumed it would also be a gift to some group. This would be the end of our family motorhome trips around the nation where we, as we homeschooled our children. Well, the praying and planning and designing covered nearly 3 months. I made a prayer list, which my wife and I prayed daily. The deep conviction that I was to build a disaster unit grew stronger and stronger each day. As I said earlier, my work at the Baptist Sunday School Board required 175 days of travel. So building time at home was limited, but it was blessed. The construction drawings were done. People began calling and asking, what project are you involved in, John? Sums up. Donations began coming in, and the construction began. What a family blessing it became. My teenage son and I did the plumbing, wiring, structural modifications, and my wife and daughter did the beautification in the interior. The plumbing and wiring was designed to make it possible to set the kitchen up on either side of the bus. This involved water, propane, electrical, and sewer connections. A trailer was designed to house a well-equipped workshop with a workbench, a fully stocked tool cabinet. It also contained oxygen, acetylene, and welding rig. There was a rack to hold a motorcycle, a removable wall that formed a freight compartment for cases of food, and racks built to hold the folding table and stoves. The rear door was a ramp. The curbside door was the entry door, and the roadside door gave access to the front end and the electric panel. On one of my business trips to Atlanta, Georgia, I found a friend of mine from high school days. His name is Merwin Lee Majors. We were fellow coon hunters and had spent many very interesting nights roaming the woods of Southeast Texas, hunting raccoons with our hunting dogs. We talked for hours before we began to share about our work. I discovered his company built portable buildings and office trailers for construction sites. Oh boy, I saw God at work. Oh boy. Well, I described my project, and when I got to the trailer description, he asked, "Who's going to build that trailer?" After he was told that I was doing it, he said, "John L., you have no business doing that. You're not equipped to do it for a professional job. Let us do it. Send me the plans, and I'll give you a wholesale price." Well, the construction account was down to about $7,500. My heart sank when he called me and said it would cost $14,000 to build it. I told him the cost was far more than I had, but I tried to pray up some more money. He said, "You keep praying and let's see what God does." Well, Merwin called me a few days later and said, "You are in for a surprise." I talked to my boss and the people on the assembly line. I told them what you needed and what it was to be used for. The worker said they would donate a Saturday to build it. When the manager heard about it, he donated the use of the factory. And all it's going to cost you is about $7,500 for parts and equipment. He was ecstatic, and I was relieved. Well, for whom was this disaster unit being built? I had no idea. It was a mystery. Another mystery was the new directions the Lord gave me. I was asked $10,000 for the unit. I'd never ask anything for other units. I'd be embarrassed to try to sell a unit to a group of fellow Baptists. As I discussed this with my financial advisor, my wife, she told me that we had $23,000 in the unit, and the material cost was, the unit's material cost was $13,000, and the motorhome we had traded in was about $10,000. Well, the Baptist Sunday School Board sent me to the Kansas-Nebraska Baptist Convention to do a study of their camp facilities. This entailed a week of travel in the two states with convention personnel. We were driving to our next camp, and I was leaning back in the passenger seat, praying for wisdom and how to use the land of the camps and camp programming ideas. Suddenly, my mind was filled with thoughts about the disaster unit. I told my partner, "I feel like Noah." "Yes, what in the world do you mean?" I replied, well, Noah built an ark in the desert with no water in sight. And I'm building a disaster unit in my backyard, and I have no idea who it's for. What do they cost, he asked. I responded, that's another thing. I have $23,000 in it, and their fathers told me to ask $10,000 for it, because he's covered the other $13,000. He yelled, he what? I repeated the story. He shouted, John, you'll not believe this, but our Baptist convention just voted to start a disaster relief ministry, and they needed a unit, and all they have is $10,000 in the budget. Man, don't let anyone else have it until I talk to my supervisor. By the time he said this, we had been back and forth across both lanes of the interstate highway twice. He was really excited. Well, the crew came to pick up the unit a few weeks later. After their departure, my wife looked at the check and said, God is so good. We gave our motor home freely without any reservations or expectations of remuneration or reward. God used it to bless the Mahoney's ministry. He met our needs with the unlikely blessing of Barney Bus. He used Barney Bus to start a disaster relief program for us. And an entire Baptist convention could have a disaster relief program. In our hearts, when we started, Barney was the donation. We never expected any profit, just all bills paid. Now we find that God has even reimbursed us for our gift to the Mahoneys. Oh my, honey, what could only God do in orchestrating such a wild program? Well, another lesson was learned. Frequently, God does not show us his entire picture, but he shows us enough to keep us on his course. An illustration of this was the unit and the Kansas, Nebraska Baptist Convention. After they got it home, they discovered it could be used between disasters as a support unit for their volunteer church builders. He gave them more than they bargained for. But after all, he is God. Oh, he's so wonderful. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I thank you and I pray for you in Jesus' name.